All right, Teddy, you're up. Billy, you're on deck. Ryan, you're... Whoops. Oh, well. I guess I didn't need that whole bottle of Gatorade anyway. But wow, look at all those ants swim. It must be pretty cool to be an ant in a pool of Gatorade. You wouldn't ever be thirsty again. You know, I think I'd rather swim in a gigantic bowl of Lucky Charms. You know, I could climb on top of the marshmallows, definitely the green ones. Always like the green ones. And I could take a big bite and then cannonball down into the milk. I really like the milk that comes out of the bowls of Lucky Charms. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, too. You know, I could save the milk and I could put it in a bottle, and then at dinner, I could pour the cinnamony milk into my cup and maybe the corn wouldn't taste so bad. Ryan! But then what would I drink out of the cereal bowl after I finish my Lucky Charms? Ryan! Hey! Stop daydreaming, son. You're up. Up? Oh, no. Not again. Hey, coach. I don't need to bet. You know, you can let someone else take the other kids. They can have a turn. Dang it, Ryan. Put on your helmet. Get up there before I... But, coach. Just look at the ball this time, Ryan, and do me a favor. Could you not cry in front of everyone again? It's kind of embarrassing. Yeah, there's an absurd rule in Little League when I was a kid. I don't know who made up this rule, but they were a very mean and vengeful person at that. Anyway, the rule said that all kids on the team had to play 3 innings every game. That's crazy. You see, baseball was never my thing. Admittedly, I do have some fond memories of spitting sunflower seeds and four-leaf clover hunting out in left field. However, no amount of lucky clovers would ever keep me from being called to bat. Baseball had other perks. Being part of a team was pretty neat. The uniform did make me look pretty awesome. But I'd really have been okay spending those afternoons safely warming the bench behind the ball-blocking fence of the dugout. That's a common feeling with modern-day church as well, just without big league chewing gum and knee socks. No, I'm happy to be a pew warmer today, most folks would say as they quietly shuffle into the back of the sanctuary. Think about the ironic similarities between a pew and a dugout bench for a minute. Today's scripture is a call to those who linger on the sidelines and warm the benches. It's a call from one of our coaches, the Apostle Simon Peter. However, in this particular passage, I want you to notice Peter speaks to us, not as a coach, but as a teammate. And so we read 1 Peter chapter 5. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over to those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. The word of God. Let's take a moment to break that passage down, starting with Peter's opening salutation. To the elders among you, I appeal or extol to you. The word extol does not simply mean to encourage, but literally to encourage with enthusiasm. This is exciting for Peter. Petra, the apostle whom Jesus nicknamed the Rock, the foundation of the church. However, as alluded, Peter wasn't an apostle this day. I extol you as a fellow elder, he says, who will share in the glory to be revealed. Peter's words do not come as an authoritative command, nor a needy plea, but an excited invitation to be leaders of the church from a humble equal. In a society of mega churches and televangelists, how many of us could lead with the humility that Peter demonstrates in this passage? After having been previously nicknamed the rock of the church by Jesus himself, I know my ego would be a little inflated. Be shepherds of God's flock who are under your care, he continues. Wait, what? Well, shoot, I could have sworn we were the sheep. Shepherds? We didn't sign up for that. You know, I'm really good with being a follower. This sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? You want me to what, coach? To bat? No. I'm really okay with being a bench warmer. Rewind. Unlike my moderately traumatizing years of Little League baseball, Peter's call to the plate was not of force, but the gift of an opportunity. Not because you must, but because you are willing, clarifies Peter. Well, you may ask, what if I'm new to this whole church thing, and I don't know the lingo yet? What if I don't really understand all the traditions, or if I can't pray in public without turning into a babbling, awkward idiot? What if I don't have any scriptures memorized, or even worse yet, what if I have doubts? You can't call me up to bat, God. Relax. You, and that's a plural you, going out to each and every person listening today, myself included, are exactly who God wants to be in the batter's box. God doesn't want Babe Ruth, and verse 5 alludes to this, stating, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. God wants you, a fellow elder and a humble teammate. Pause again. You may be thinking something along the lines of, I'm not sure I appreciate being called an elder. Are you trying to say something? Well, yes, I am. But not what you think. Elders in the church are persons of faith, of dedication, and good judgment. Note I say good and not perfect there. They are those who strive to live their life as a demonstration of Jesus' love and exemplify his teachings. There is no educational qualification for the office of elder, no age requirement, no sign with a measuring stick declaring you must be this tall to ride this ride. And when looking at our unique faith journeys, I strongly feel God's plea is right in line with the old 90s surf motto made famous by the brand Billabong, that we indeed enjoy the ride. There are two interchangeable words used throughout the New Testament when speaking of elder. The first is episkopos, and is the more common of the two. It references an official acting as an overseer, controller, or guardian for the church or community. In Peter's passage, the word used is presbyterios, and its connotation is much more communal in nature. This is where the word Presbyterian is derived, a denomination in modern Christianity that simply means elder-led church. Notice that throughout the New Testament, the term elder is most often plural, as it is in today's passage. And the word for church is singular, suggesting that the early church was one unified body composed and led by a variety of elders, age being of the essence. Now, the etymology of the Greek language is a bit heavy, and playing off a Little League reference is a little bit more enjoyable than breaking down the historical church's models of leadership, so we digress. Though not specifically one of the Ten Commandments, it is indeed a sin to speak in sporting parable without integrating a quote from the great Vince Lombardi. So we turn to the sage, the elder, for his words of wisdom on the subject. Individual commitment to group effort, states Lombardi. That is what makes a team work, a company work, a society work, a civilization work. You know what one of the most damaging statements of our time is? There is no I in team. We have all heard it. It is a constant theme in dugouts, locker rooms, bullpens, conference rooms, etc. But despite its good intentions, the statement makes it far, far too easy to become complacent with our seat on the bench. The ball was scary as a kid. Actually, I still quiver when I think of a batter's box. but my coach and my cheering parents knew that everything was going to be okay. They knew I could handle it, and they wanted to see their son on the field and in the action. What parent wants to watch their kids sit on the bench for 9 innings? Just the same, God wants us in the game. Hell yeah, we're going to strike out on occasion, and we may very well get hit by a pitch. But that's what being the church, not attending the church, is all about. There is no I in team. Yeah, it sounds great, but is it a cop-out to sit on the bench? Individual commitment to a group effort. That's what makes a team work, declared Lombardi. Indeed, there is no I in team. But we all have heard it said, there is indeed a me in team. And we have a bunch of me's listening today. An elder is a teammate, and my job as a leader here this morning lies in producing more leaders. My goal is, as was Peter's some 2,000 years ago, to empower you, to encourage you, and to serve alongside of you as we together grow as Christian community. Peter's call to the people wasn't original. It was in the Gospel of John when Simon Peter received a similar message from Jesus. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Jesus asked. Then tend my flock. Peter was relaying the lesson, the calling that he had heard way back when. Back in college, studying to be an English teacher, somehow I took a strange turn or along the lines and became a pastor, but that's another story. So back in college as an English major, we learned about the Lancaster education model. As the schools were growing in the early 19th century, the British educator Joseph Lancaster, unable to shrink his classroom size, initiated a model through which his pupils would teach one another. The model being code de set, or he who teaches learns. In this model, Lancaster would organize the classroom into rows, teaching the first row of students directly. Those students would then turn and guide the next row in the lesson, switching roles from learner to teacher. And the process would continue throughout the classroom, with each student indeed becoming a teacher, a leader in the process. In the educational world, it became quickly apparent that by allowing and encouraging, by extolling the students to take the role of teacher, the students grew a much better understanding of the subject matter and their confidence in their ability to teach. Just the same, we in the church grow the most in our faith, not simply through our passive listening, but by actively teaching, by leading. And our church grows the strongest when leadership comes from an individual, not from an individual, but from the team. I've used the words of C.K. Chesterton before, but I feel that his call indeed rings true today. Just going to church doesn't make you a Christian, he says, any more than standing in your garage makes you a car. You see, a car is meant to transport us to new and exciting places. And our role as Christians, as disciples, as elders or apostles, is to transport the church and the many individuals that God places in our life one step closer to perfection. So what does it mean to pick up the bat? To step up to the plate? Today, this week, this month? I close with the words of Isaiah in chapter 6, verse 8, as the prophet writes, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me. So what's your reply? You're on deck. Are you going to step into the box, or are you going to return to the bench and daydream while eating sunflower seeds? Just thoughts to ponder as we leave today. Amen.